welcome back to the program, and I am very happy to have with me someone whose program I was on last Saturday over the weekend. I was in Texas, the heart of Texas, as they call it, Central Texas, a town called Bastrop. I've heard it pronounced Bastrop.
There will be somebody around the corner to correct you on any cities. As a northerner who moved to Texas 3 years ago, I'm constantly getting corrected about my pronunciation of various names.
If I told you that was my biggest concern before I gave my keynote address, was I was afraid I was going to offend somebody if I said it wrong. But the three people who were organizing the event each said it differently, so I decided not to worry about it. Anyway, it is a small town, very quaint, very charming, very much sort of stuck in time, about a half hour from Austin, Texas. So a long way away from that thriving liberal hip city. But I was very happy to be there because I don't get out enough, and I really like going to parts of the country that, you know, are very different from where I live here in Northern California. But I had no idea until I started doing research on the area that it was exactly where those horrible wildfires were burning 2 years ago when Governor Perry was talking about how he didn't believe in climate change and asking Obama for, you know, emergency funding to help put out the fires and only asking people to pray for rain. I said, boy, I really have to see what this place is all about. And I found the people charming, lovely, warm, southern hospitality. And then I found you guys outside broadcasting live from the trailer of a solar-powered station, KDRP, Independent Hill Country Radio. And when I was talking to you, Bill, and John Dromgul, who's a natural gardener of some renown in that area, I said, well, these folks probably have a perspective that perhaps, you know, others don't, you know, who grew up there perhaps in this rural part of the country and state of Texas, just because you moved there, I guess, several years ago from Chicago. And I just really was eager to get your sense of, you know, what these people have been through in terms of drought and horrible fires. I went to dinner with six women from Bastrop and Friday night, and two out of six of them had lost their homes in the fire.
It was a devastating summer two summers ago. We had pretty much it was our second summer here. The first summer was 100 days of 100 degree temperatures, and the next summer was not that much better. It was a little cooler, but still the wildfires were a very devastating force, and they can, you know, what the scary part about it, Betsy, is they can erupt anywhere in this whole region, and there's no natural gas in Central Texas really being piped into homes. Everything is electric in terms of your energy use. And so people who use propane have propane tanks on their property. There are big propane farms dotted throughout the countryside that could explode in the midst of a fire. So it is a real fear for people out here. And the volunteer fire departments and the fire departments in general try to do a great job of teaching people what to do to protect their home from being destroyed in a fire. But, you know, when there's a fire raging at you, there's not a whole lot to be done sometimes.
And as I said at the top of the show, nearly 1,700 homes were destroyed in that fire. And the cause of it, as you well know, but listeners may not, was really strong, gusty winds, which knocked power lines down and ignited several fires back-to-back, I guess. And because
right.
it had been so dry and so hot for so long, it was, you know, just like exploded. And people showed me pictures and talked about, you know, the fire burning up on the ridge and just getting so close so quickly that they had time to do nothing except run for their lives and couldn't save pictures, couldn't save anything. That is so frightening. And, you know, so maybe that was weather, you know, for certainly made worse by the dry conditions. But I sometimes feel like even where I live, the wind has gotten stronger. It's gotten gustier.
Well, you know, those are the three most powerful creators of energy. Fire, wind, and water are also the most destructive natural forces. And so, just like we saw in New Orleans with Katrina, and on the East Coast not all that long ago, and in Oklahoma certainly with the tornadoes, Mother Nature can marshal those forces and do a great deal of damage to property and life, and it's something that people need to be aware of, no matter where they live.
And where do you live exactly, Bill?
Well, I live about as far from Austin as Bastrop is, only on the western side, on more toward the hill country. Dripping Springs is the gateway to hill country. And then we're as you keep going, you get into Johnson City and Fredericksburg and a lot of a lot of quaint touristy hill country towns. We also have a very nice wine trail that runs throughout the hill country with 20 or more different wineries that people can go to as they travel around. It's a lovely area to vacation in. And one thing I found out, I have a friend who works in the auto industry, and apparently the car manufacturers like to bring auto riders out here to test their new cars because of the hilly terrain and the beautiful countryside.
Well, and in the town of Bastrop, it's so I say this with affection and respect, actually, so old-fashioned, it's like time stood still, that they actually have a street where there's no, you can drive, but you have to go 5 miles an hour because it's the historical chicken lane. And there's chickens and hens and roosters, you know, walking around, clucking around the road, and, you know, people like it that way. And they come there and film movies there because it really has homes and buildings from the 1800s that have not changed at all. So it's really a great place to go to kind of see all America life going on, all American, I should say, and, you know, regular Americans living their lives. And yet here is this huge, you know, 21st century problem, climate change, that is so severely impacted their community that, you know, will they ever be the same? And I just wondered if what is your sense about, you know, the local folks, not just in Bastrop, but just, you know, in the Austin, greater Austin area, in terms of understanding that, you know, this is most likely fueled by climate change, the drought and the fires?
I don't know if, you know, there's still probably a fair number of people who have their heads in the sand about that. When you start talking about climate change, it's a very polarizing thing. And, better to just talk about the tragedies that are in front of them and try to make people relate to them. If you're trying to proselytize, I mean, I don't do a lot of that, but it's a difficult thing to talk about because when you start talking about climate change, you start talking about political action, and then you do get into a very divisive area because while Austin is a very purple part of Texas, it is a very conservative state. So there's a lot of political conservatism here wants to let the market decide whether you're talking about oil and gas, natural gas, the fracking issue, and water is a huge issue because the aquifers are drying up. They're trying to make plans to divert the water that we do have to other places that need it for money. And so when you start talking about profit and resources, that's when it gets tricky.
Absolutely, and that's why I found this whole challenge of speaking, you know, in such a town in, you know, the red state of Texas, let's face it, you know, and yet, again, a community that had been so hard hit. I mean, we talk about climate change and, you know, the impacts every week on the show, but I've not lost my home to a fire, and I was, you know, talking to people who had. And so that's what I guess what I'm curious about is just sort of, you know, how people can set politics and the profit factor aside that is, you know, in the middle of too much of this debate and discussion across our country, who have been hit, literally, climate change has hit home in a very deep, practical, costly way. You know, how do they, it's almost like that cognitive dissonance, how does that get reconciled? And I guess I'm asking kind of a sociological question, but I thought you'd be a good person to pose that existential question too.
Well, I came down here from, as you said, from Chicago 3 years ago. It's not a very long time, and I wound up in the, you know, in what some people are saying is the middle of a 10-year drought. When I bought my property here when my wife and I bought this piece of land that had nothing on it, and we wanted to start a little project farm. It had a beautiful pond in the back, which is called a stock tank here in Central Texas, and also a nice creek running through it. Well, in the 36 months or so that we've been here, those things have had water in them about 6 months. So I'm facing that, and I'm facing trying to grow pasture for a few stock animals. Obviously, I'm in a subdivision, and I can have a few animals because it's fairly ag-friendly, but I don't have a huge herd. I actually have just four animals. But they need something to graze on, otherwise I have to feed them, and I have to look at my costs and some of the things that are important to me. I came down here from Chicago where there was never any issue with water. I live two blocks from Lake Michigan. It's one of the five Great Lakes. It's 80 miles across to Michigan. I couldn't see the other side, you know, and you just never think about it because water is always there. You never think about conserving it. You never think about wasting it, and now my mindset has changed a total 180 degrees around that to where water conservation and protection of that resource is paramount in my mind all the time. My wife also joined the volunteer firefighter department down here, and to be learning about where the water is in relation to a fire, how you have to get the water there when there's no hydrants, because once you get a little further west of us here, the fire hydrant situation becomes very few and far between when it gets into rural, a real rural area that way, and then you have to truck in your water. So it all becomes very connected and very important to try and at least be aware of what the resource depletion is about, and then what you know, you can do as an individual and hopefully, you know, at least lend your voice to other people who want to do the same thing when it comes to the political side. And hopefully, you know, some of the politicians will be responsive to that over time.
And as you're pointing out with the water problem, for those who have these romantic notions about escaping city life and, you know, get off the treadmill and leave technology behind for the simple life and living back on land and farming, you say, well, it's not so simple, especially these drought-stricken days.
It isn't, but you know, technology can make it, you know, can lend some improvements. I mean, I'm enjoying, I don't have a lot of solar energy here on my little farm, but I have a few small units that I use to power electrical fencing and things like that. And that's, you know, that's one way that you can do it. You see some wind turbines dotted throughout the area. And so it's a place where you can, at least you're out in the wide open and you can experiment if you have the resources. You can experiment with some alternative energy and renewable energy.
And you have solar-powered panels. Well, you have solar power.
At least the radio
station
is solar-powered.
With your radio station,
is what I'm trying to say.
Tell us about that. How'd that come about?
Well, KDRP is based in Dripping Springs, but also now broadcasting along the Highway 290 corridor, all the way from Bastrop, where you were. It's 25 miles into Austin, 25 miles into Dripping Springs, and then another 50 miles or so to Luckenbach. So it's a nice long broadcast area on a couple of different frequencies. And in Austin, we've partnered with a local company called Freedom Solar, and they have put in a dedicated solar array for us right by our tower. Power site so that we can collect the energy there and run the outlet right into our transmitter and plug it in and be solar powered straight from Austin 24/7. Even if there's some cloudy days, we've got 3 days of battery backup that we can use. And so it's very cool to be able to say that we're Texas is the first and only solar powered radio station in Texas out of Austin. And the solar initiative that we've got going is a way to raise funds for the station. We don't sell advertising. We don't take anybody's tuition money to teach their kids broadcasting. We don't do government grants. It's all supported by local businesses and individual members. So this is a way for if someone is green-minded and they want to support something that's not using resources or trying to at least lower their carbon footprint, KDRP is a good place for them to put some of their donation money. money. And, you know, let's face it, we play great music, Americana music from the 50s right up till today, and people are really enjoying the music mix. So that's what it's all about.
And you're a musician yourself, I saw in your YouTube video. Good
well,
for you.
I try, but, you know, sometimes keeping it, farming is like, you know, a million 15-minute job. So keeping a train of thought sometimes can be a challenge. But one of the reasons I came down to Texas was to enjoy the musical climate here, and I've certainly not been disappointed in the least. There are such great players, and as you found out with the Southern Hospitality, everybody is very nice, very welcoming, and very supportive. And I don't think you find that really in every kind of major market in this country. So it was very very refreshing to find that was all true.
Absolutely, and they took me. The women took me to a wonderful dinner at Baxter's downtown Bastrop, and I had chicken fried steak. But before that, we had brisket and sour cream nachos. I'm still working it off.
You know, you can definitely enjoy your barbecue and your Tex-Mex down here in Central Texas. They know how to do those foods, and then if you have a taste for something else, you know it's time for a road trip, and you got to go seek it out.
And yeah, on the road back to Austin to go to the airport, we stopped at a place that sold pecan specialties, Bertolli's or something. And mm-hmm. So I brought home, as if I didn't have enough calories while I was there, I brought home a lot of yummy, fattening Texan treats. So
really, I'm sure your family will help you with it.
I really enjoyed my couple of days there, I should say. We just have a couple minutes left, and I really appreciate your perspective, Bill. You know, you say that solar panels help power the radio station you're on, and that, you know, you really are super water, you know, conservation-minded. Would you say that you're typical of the area? Do you see solar panels on homes and businesses more and more in the area, stretching from Dripping Springs to Bastrop with Austin in the middle? You know, the sun does beat down for a lot of days, you know, in Texas.
It's definitely a good place to put some solar panels. As you know, Betsy, it's, you know, it's an expensive investment for you know, as a retired person or trying to be retired. It's probably not something that I can afford to do right now on my property. Maybe the next, you know, at some point, if someone buys this place and it's a young person starting their family, starting their life, it would certainly be an investment for them to make. You do see a lot more solar energy going in, and I think there's growth in the industry, but it is an investment. And like Arizona and like Florida, a lot of Central Texas is you know, retirement-oriented people, and so I think the cost factor, the cost-benefit investment factor, is probably going to hold some people back for the time being. But that doesn't mean that, you know, that it's going to last forever. I mean, the sun is a renewable resource. There's no reason that we shouldn't tap into it, and people just need to get awake to the fact that they can use this and not have to pay any money. You know, I know the boss loves to not have to write a check to the Austin Energy Company to power us in Austin, Texas. So it's definitely worthwhile.
And speaking of boss, I just can't help but end on a note of political curiosity, I guess, curiosity about the politics there. Because Governor Rick Perry, you know, famously is a non-believer in climate change, or so he said actively, loudly on the campaign trail when he was trying to, you know, get into the White House, not being a very green candidate at all. Do you see the fact that, you know, the practical realities having hit Texas residents, you know, is that impacting? Are Texans starting to say, gee, what's up with our governor not accepting that, you know, our weather is changing and that it most likely is a result of global warming? Or is that just wishful thinking, you know, on my outsider's perspective?
I don't know. You know, I came down here without a, you know, with the hope that I wouldn't have to get involved in too much politics. Rick Perry won't be around forever. I think Texas may, and Texas certainly has had progressive governors before. Ann Richards was a great governor and much beloved, and also very socially conscious and environmentally conscious person. I wouldn't be surprised at all if the state got back to a little bit better political will when it comes to our green issues in the future. Austin has already eliminated single-use bags at the retail level, so that's, and Houston or Dallas, I think, is now looking into it as well. So that's a, you know, baby steps, I guess, is what I can only hope for.
Yeah, I hope so too. I just know that, you know, baby steps and, you know, incremental improvements towards, you know, climate awareness and action is not enough, unfortunately, you know, because we're so far down the road, as you well know, living there. It just boggles my mind that, you know, political leaders who think they should govern, you know, the entire country, you know, don't believe 97% of climate scientists. But I'll get off my anti-Perry horse here. I just
well, I think the concept of NIMBY is getting being reduced, not in my backyard, because people are seeing that their backyard is getting smaller and smaller every day with the world encroaching on the way we all live. So whether it's you know, whether it's radioactive materials coming over from Japan via the tides and the currents, or you know, whether it's
coming from China. Supposedly a third of our pollution in this country, on the West Coast anyway, comes from China, and we know
exactly. And
bad,
you know,
stuff.
And people just, you know, it's you know, we talked about this briefly. It starts with with the media. You know, let's start covering some of these serious issues that do impact people's lives, and leave some of the you know, if it bleeds, it leads mentality alone for a while, because that's not really helping anybody to know, you know, who got murdered or who bought an expensive car or, you know, who got divorced. I mean, that's not relevant to our lives. But as you say, pollution from anywhere in the world is that's going to affect us is important to know about, and we need to be aware.
Bill Page, you hear the music, you know what that means. You're a radio guy. Nice to have a green friend in media in Central Texas. Really appreciate you joining me on the Green Front today.
We'll talk again soon, Betsy.
All right, we will. Y'all come back now next week, same time, same place, same station. Have a great green week.